All right. So this particular subject's been on my mind for a while. And I guess it just brought the sense of urgency about this subject even more so with what's been going on with our loved ones within the body here, with the passing of their loved ones. There's been quite a few. And so the subject is, if there's going to be a title for this particular class, to again spur us to do better with what we have and what we know. The question is going to be submitted for your consideration. What if you had just 5 minutes more? If you had just 5 minutes more. Again, we've been reminded, time waits for no one. There's 604,800 seconds in a week. And do you think that's a lot? That's 31,536,000 seconds in a year. 1,080 minutes in a week, 168 hours in a week. How many hours for a lifetime? We know that some people's lifetime, it's a matter of moments. Some, just a matter of years. Others, been blessed with decades. Most of us, over half a century. We've been blessed. We have been blessed. With every single second, we have been blessed. And we hope that through the Lord's word, and again, for our own reflection and consideration, to realize what a gift that is. It'll never be repeated. But there's been a lot of people who find in certain situations and circumstances, them crying out, if I just had 5 minutes more. Just 5 minutes. Maybe even just a moment. If they could do it all over again, or do something all over again, or take the opportunity to do something they should have. Just 5 minutes more. Again, it would be safe to say that no matter how long one may live, never long enough. And that's something that we inwardly desire to live. Question is, to live for whom? To live for what? The blessings that we have been given are unique to everyone. Of course, there's things that we share. The Lord's word, his blessings, his love, his air, this earth. There's a lot of things that we share. But one thing we will never share. Again, I know it's a lover's, quote-unquote, aspiration. That those who have been joined for many, many years through God's blessings, that their inward hope is that they would go together. But we don't know if that's going to be provided. But we do know we're going to go. We're going to go. Again, you've heard it also said, I guess especially when you had young children, teenagers in your life, and you're trying to get them all out the door to go to school. It seems like there's never enough time. Get them out the door. You got places to go, things to do. And do we find ourselves saying that still? You know, even after all these years? It seems like there's never enough time. Time does not stop for no one. Can I get someone to please go to Luke 16, 19 through 31 for me. Luke 19. Yeah, Luke 16, 19 through 31. Go ahead, brother.
There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, designed to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you will send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded through one raised from the dead.
There's a lot of meat, of course, in that rendering. And one little caveat amongst many, if someone rises from the dead, that's our Savior. Mm-hmm. And obviously there are a lot of people that don't believe him. And he's risen. He is risen. But the point I wanted to make here, and the question is, do you believe that the rich man would at least would want to tell his five brothers to change their ways if he had just 5 minutes more? Now that he realizes that it is the truth of what's been declared by the prophets, there is a God. Yes, ma'am.
He probably would have wanted to do some good to Lazarus at least the last 5 minutes, give him a steak dinner.
Again, the change, the opportunity that was afforded to him. And we see here lots of opportunity. Lots of opportunity. But he did not. And now he finds himself in a place which Scripture renders torment. I've been thirsty. I'm sure all of us have been thirsty. If you've been in athletics, doing marathons, et cetera. But I'll share with you one experience I've had. While I was in the military, we deployed to Saudi Arabia, and we flew over, of course, on commercial contracted airlines. But I remember finally that looking out the window, seeing the vast, vast desert sands, and not a land feature at all, just flat. And so, of course, we're just a lot of excitement, anticipation, and nervousness, et cetera, you know, from where we're going. But I'll never forget That's what I call a significant emotional event. And we've all had those stuck in your head. When they opened the door and we were disembarking, the heat was so dry that I could literally feel the moisture in my lungs being sucked out. Just like that. It was so hot. The moisture was just gone. And so that's just one. And of course, I find myself thirsty. And then when I consider what is written here, that he is in such torment that he just wants the tip, just the tip of some water on his tongue for relief. I just can't imagine. But it's there. Do we need to experience it to believe it? No, exactly. But it's written there for our learning to realize that it does happen. That it will happen. So we know God does not lie. Does not lie. Again, so but the main thing I wanted to bring out for this event that we have written for us is that if he could have had 5 minutes more, what would he have done? Obviously now he's trying to reach out to his loved ones. Okay, let's turn to Genesis 19:15-17. Genesis 19:15-17, if I could get a volunteer. Go ahead, sweetheart.
15-17?
Yes, ma'am.
With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and 2 daughters who are here, or you'll be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hand of his wife and his 2 daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. And as soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plains. Flee to the mountains, or you'll be swept away."
Okay. There's the warning been given. Just like we read in our scriptures today, the warning is given. And again, in those times, there was a great turmoil in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, to bring you back to what this is referring to. God's intention was to destroy that city. But again, by God's grace and mercy, we find that there were followers, there were Christians. And what a blessing. What a wonderful blessing that angels were sent. Angels are sent. And again, some people were to discount that. What does Scripture say now? In what we call the New Testament. Of course, this is reflected in the Old Testament. But some people will discount, well, those things don't happen anymore. Didn't the Scripture say we entertain angels unawares? There it is. Truth. Now, let's skip to Genesis 19. 23 through 26.
Go ahead. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all of the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt.
I'm sure we've all heard that story before. But if Lot could, do you think he would have used his 5 minutes to make sure he was behind her to turn her around before she could look back? If he had 5 minutes more, what difference he would have made for his loved ones. Don't look back. And put himself between the city and her, if he had 5 minutes more. Kathy and I were blessed to be able to go overseas, and we got a chance to go to the Titanic Memorial in Ireland, where they built the ship. And they were showing in this museum little snippets of the movie, Titanic. I'm sure everyone's seen it. Yeah, okay. they did it very tastefully, because again, it was a museum, not to take advantage of the situation, but kind of reflect what happened. So they did it, in my opinion, very tastefully, in showing respect and honor to those who did pass. It wasn't about just making a buck. Anyway, they're showing spin-offs of the movie. And what moved me was a snippet, was a view of an elderly couple that were up in years in the movie. Maybe you'll remember. They were up in years. They were old and what some people may consider frail. And they knew that the ship was sinking. We see them lying in bed in their formal attire, guessing they were going to or coming from a fancy dinner. But in that sea, they were embracing each other. I would like to see myself, my sweetheart, or even my brothers and sisters, if that circumstance was whatever it may be. We find ourselves praying to our God, praying to our Lord and our Savior during these times. Let's turn to Luke 13:4.
Those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem?
Thanks. And again, what we have here is an account where Christ is talking about an accident. The tower fell, and people were what I call in the wrong place at the wrong time. It wasn't because they sinned. It was because accidents happen. And so, but if those people were delayed just 5 minutes, what do you think the outcome would have been? And I'm sure all of us have traveled to the airport or train station or even getting on a cruise ship. We found out in Europe, in Germany, when the train says they're leaving at 1 o'clock, guess what? Those doors, they're rolling. The doors are not closing. They are rolling. And, oh, by the way, if you're not in there, no matter how frantic you wave and hoop and holler, guess what? It's gone. It's gone. And I'm sure that's probably the same way with the... most travel services say, it's time to go. We've got a lot of people in here already. Let's go. Yeah.
I just, it seems like time is really slipping away. Like, we don't have much time. That's what the inside of me says, and that might be maybe my time. So, but there was something on the
on the internet that I saw this woman talking about, you know, what really is the gospel? You know, what's the true gospel? Is it, you know, Jesus wants a relationship with you and, you know, for a better life, and he has a plan for you and this, that, the other, which is true. But then she said, the victim of 9/11, that wouldn't apply to them. Like, what, and that made me, what is really the gospel? If you only had 5 minutes, you know. So we're all, we don't know how much time we have. We don't know how much time before Christ comes back. And we, how soft is it? How soft do we make the gospel?
Exactly.
We repent. You know, that's what he says in the next verse. I tell you, repent. You know, I don't know when the last time I told somebody that.
Right, and so that's part of this class, is get you, all of us, to understand through these examples. We don't, and they don't, have 5 minutes more. We don't. As much as we would love to have that and say, dear Lord, don't take me now, give me 5 minutes, you know it's not going to happen. But like, and again, in the example given is about the rich man Lazarus. He so desperately wanted to change circumstances, didn't he? But of course we know, once we've gone, just like the train, it's gone. Oh, by the way, when you disembark, guess what? It's, when it says it's leaving, and Kathy and I, we had two little ones, and we had all our luggage because we thought, hey, it'd be kind of cool to leave Europe via train and plane. So we got on the train with all of our luggage and stuff. And then we were trying to frantic. Oh, the doors are open. You better get out. You just can't just... Oh, sweetheart, did you... No, you just can't mosey. You better get ready. And so... Here, doors open, go! And we're, of course, we're not the only ones, you know? So we see their sense of urgency, get the bag, you know? Get the kids, and off we go. And then we're in the airplane, I mean, in the terminal, getting all that done. And then we realize, where is suitcase number 5? Gone. Separated. Had no idea. But again, we had to be other places. So kind of like in our life, it's much like that with our Lord. When it's time to go, you're gone. If you got baggage, it's staying. You forgot it, there it goes. There's no forwarding service in heaven. You don't need it. Excuse me?
You don't want it anyway.
You don't need it.
Sure. I want it.
But anyway, to make a long story short, there were the people on the train, I guess, checked the train and saw who's... We put. Thank God she put the tag on there. And it was mailed to us, and we got it. And things were in there. Everything that was in there. That was a different time than it is now. Yeah, we've heard the horror stories about... anyway... But the point being, again, when it's time to go, you're going. We don't have 5 minutes. We have today. And again, whatever lifetime the good Lord provides to us, that's it. And through these examples of what we have of the Old Testament, of Lazarus, and, I mean, of Lot, would want to do something for his spouse, for a loved one, to stop her from turning around. And we have loved ones like that now, who've turned around to the Lord, I mean, to the world. And we need to be that person in front and grab them and don't let them turn around. And again, the people that we just walk by and discount, don't do that. Again, like our brother shared, we have an opportunity to bless them with God's word. It's not us. We don't do the saving. We're just a messenger. It is God's word that does the saving. And again, we need to be, of course, as God would want us to be, emboldened to do what he would have us to be. And again, as in according to the New Testament, as our Lord Savior was describing, accidents happen. Even when you are doing everything right, for example, you get in your car, you put on your seatbelt every time, not just some of the time, but every time you put on that seatbelt, you check your mirrors, you adjust your seat, you turn off the phone, and then off you go to wherever to go get some donuts. And then a DWI comes and takes you out. You obeyed the speed limit. You stayed on your side of the yellow line. And accidents happen, just like our Savior said about the tower. It happens. We don't know when, where, or why. But be aware it happens. Let's go to Matthew 25:13. Matthew 25:13. And a volunteer.
Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.
Now, we've been told that time and time again. Mm-hmm. And again, I guess somehow we don't think it's going to apply to us. Somehow. Somehow you think you have 31,536,000 seconds in front of you. Or whatever amount of time. The reality is we don't. We don't know. Even our Savior don't know. God himself is the only one who knows. And we know this patient doesn't run out. Meaning, Sodom and Gomorrah is a good example. The flood is another one. I mean, there's so many examples of where God said, okay, that's it. It's time. It's time. And even though in his punishment of the world, what about the Christians? We see time and time again, he has provisions for the Christians. He makes provision. Sends an angel. Sends his Holy Spirit. Sends the Word. Sends the prophet Jesus Christ. We have all that. So like the rich man saying, hey, send someone back from the dead. That's Jesus Christ. He's alive today. We have all that. 1 John 3:21-24. 1 John 3:21-24. Go ahead, sister.
Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us.
Isn't that beautiful words?
Yes.
Wonderful words. Would you show love to the Father with the last 5 minutes of your life? Because of who he is and what he's done for you? is, are you compelled and overwhelmed with what he has done for you, what he does for you, what he will do for you? Is your heart wrapped around him so much that your last 5 minutes that you are aware of will be reflected on him because you love him that much? There's no sense in trying to compare how much he loves you versus how much you love him. His love is righteous. His love is pure. He is love. We only learn, quote unquote, how to love when we learn how he loves. And how much did he love? He was willing to take a nail for you. Not just once. Yes, ma'am.
I'm just thinking of what you said earlier. That's why it's so important for us to filter what we see, hear, and be involved in. Mm-hmm. It's important.
Mm-hmm. Very important. Very important. And the act of the physical act of doing it, that takes effort. It takes effort. For most of us, I shared with you the last time, a while back, about the ham story, right? I'm getting the roly eye right now. So I'm not going to repeat the ham story, but again, the idea being, you got to know why you do what you do. And that takes some research sometimes. Research, filter, learn.
You talk about God's love is pure in 1 John 3:1-3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now that we're children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known by what we know. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That verse
says, I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. It may be new to us because we're just made aware of it. But believe me, it's been written. It is here in the book for us to use and to read. Again, just like algebra and all those other higher levels of math, it doesn't come by osmosis. You have to study. You have to apply yourself. And same with his word. And if you're into mystery novels, some people are. Some people are into detective stories. Some people are into the unbelievable. It's all in here. It's all in here. You want to learn about dysfunctional families? It's in here. You want to learn about the power of what love can do? It's in here. Mm-hmm. You want to learn about hope, genuine hope? It's in here. All of it's in here. Everything that we need, it's in here. Let's turn to James 4:13-17, and then we have to wind up. James 4:13-17. Now listen. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. And we discussed here in a few simple examples that if people had 5 minutes more, the good they would have done, the difference they would have made for their loved ones, family, colleagues, wherever you are. So if you had just 5 minutes left, what would you do with it? Would you make a call to that needed, would you make a call that needed to be done for so many years and you've been putting it off? Would you hug for 5 minutes? Would you pray? Would you tell someone about the good news finally? Would you love God? Just something to consider if we only had 5 minutes left. But at the end of our life, if we could ask God for just 5 minutes more, what would you do with it? That's our class. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.